Raise your hand if you can hear me. All right, good deal.
Well, hey, guys, I am thankful to be here tonight. It's a pleasure to come to camp. In fact, I actually just came back from a camp 2 weeks ago with our fourth, fifth, and sixth graders from the church that I have the opportunity to be the children's pastor at, New Life Bible Fellowship. We got anybody from New Life in the house? Hi, Emery. Where's Emery? Over there's Emery. Hi, Emery. You go to New Life? No, you don't go to New Life. And I know one other person, Bodie Zimmerman. Bodie, what's up, Bodie? How you doing, buddy? All right. Well, guys, listen, I'm a relational person. I like to get to know people, all right? And so I want you guys to get to know me a little bit before we jump in, and I want to get to know you guys a little bit as well. So I want to introduce you to my family. They're not here with me, unfortunately. They're busy tonight, but here's a picture of my family. All right, so this is my wife, Stephanie. We've been married for 14 years, and then I have four children. Judah is 11, Eden is 10, and the twins just turned 9 last week. So yes, God blessed us with four kids in 3 years. Do the math, it's weird. I don't know how it works. God's plan. Thanks, Pastor Ryan. So we also did just add one new addition to our family. We got a little puppy. It's our first family pet ever. Named Lily. She is a mini Bernedoodle, and we surprised our kids with her a couple weeks ago, and she's been a great addition to the family. So just a little bit about me. I want to share some more things, and so I'm going to play a little game with you guys called Three Truths, One Lie. You ever heard of this game before? Okay. So I'm going to share these four things with you guys, and what I want you to do is I want you guys to be the super sleuths and figure out which of these things is not true about me, okay? So here they are. Pay attention. Ready? First thing, I love Chipotle burritos. Okay? Second thing, I was almost kidnapped. Third thing, I have a very obvious birthmark. Fourth thing, I love to read books. All right, so how we're going to do this is by showing of raise of hand, I'll go through them and you tell me which one you think is a lie. Do you think it's a lie that I love Chipotle burritos?
Yes.
Okay. Next, do you think it's a lie that I was almost kidnapped? Pretty good amount. Do you think it's a lie that I have a very obvious birthmark? Okay. And lastly, do you think it's a lie that I love to read books? Okay. If you raised your hand for the fact that I love to read books, you would be correct. Listen, it's not that I don't love to read books. It's that I'm a very, very bad reader. I'm a very slow reader. I process things a little bit differently than other people do. And so I don't find enjoyment as much as some people do. Now, I'll get to the other things. I'm a foodie, so Chipotle burritos, that's an obvious one. That's, you know, something I love to do. The kidnap story, I will tell that later in a little while. You guys will get to hear that a little bit later. That is a true thing. And then I have an obvious birthmark. You may not be able to see it in the light, but right here on my hand, I have really red pointer finger and thumb. And you can see that, pointer finger and thumb. So like if I would come up and give you a high five, kids all the time, they're like, what's on your hand? Did you draw on yourself? Is that paint? I'm like, no, that's just my birthmark. So fun fact about my birthmark, you can't see it. You guys can come up later and you'll get it. When I get hot, like feverish, this turns bright red. It keeps my temperature. If I would go outside on a freezing cold day without a jacket on, it turns purple. It literally is a thermometer on my hand. This is how God designed me, all right? So I get to have fun things like that to share with you guys. Okay? So I want you to get to know me, but I want to get to know you. So the best way that I can do that with you guys is there's 100 and some of you kids here. There's no way that I could literally have a conversation with each of you. So we're going to play a little game called Stand Up, Sit Down. All right? Here's how the game works. If you prefer the thing that I say stand up for, you stand up. If you prefer the thing that I say sit down for, stay seated. Got it? All right, so get ready. Here we go. Stand up if you prefer chocolate ice cream. Sit down if you prefer vanilla. Oh, wow. Looks like we have a vanilla, I think, maybe for the win here. Vanilla. I'm a chocolate guy, so that's good. All right, here we go. Stand up if you prefer pizza. Sit down if you prefer tacos. I'm gonna sit in the middle on this one. I'm going to sit in the middle on this one. I can go either way. All right. All right, cool. Here we go, one couple more. Stand up if you prefer movies, sit down if you prefer bowling. I'm gonna go movies. I'd rather watch a movie than go bowling.
All right, two more. Stand up if you prefer sports. Sit down if you prefer arts and music. I'm a sports guy, so I'm standing with all you sports people out there. All right, last one. Stand up if you prefer summer. Sit down if you prefer winter. Awesome. All right, thanks, guys. Everybody can have a seat. All right, guys. Hey, so we got a chance to get some of our jitters out, and I got to get to know you a little bit. I appreciate you guys. We'll talk later if you guys want to talk about some more things that we share in common. So let's stop and pause and do one of the most important things that we can do in a time like this. There's a reason that we're sitting in this building tonight, okay? And it's to look at the most amazing book that has ever been written. It's to talk about the one and only true King of the universe. And so what we're going to do right now is we're going to stop, we're going to pause, and we're going to speak to him before we jump into his word. So let's bow our heads, let's close our eyes, fold our hands, and show reverence and respect for God. Father, we thank you that we have an opportunity to be here tonight. Lord, thank you for this camp, and thank you for the ministry of those who are working here. Thank you for each of the children that you have divinely appointed to be in this place tonight. Lord, I pray that as we look at your word, Father, that you would speak clearly through me, that these would be your words and not my words. Father, would you be honored and glorified tonight? May we draw closer to you from having been under the teaching of your word. And Lord, we just ask that your presence would be here amongst us. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. All right. So I know that the theme is a door because I talked to this fine gentleman over here, Mr. Gertie, and he was like, yeah, the theme's a door. And I was like, okay, what am I supposed to do? He's like, I don't care what you do. Just do something. And guess what? That's uncomfortable for Mr. Jordan. All right, you guys can call me Mr. Jordan. That's uncomfortable for me. I like to have guidance and direction sometimes. And so I'm asking Pastor Ryan, I was like, hey, what am I supposed to do? Because he knows Gertie really well. And he's like, just do what he said. And I was like, he didn't give me anything. He's like, then do whatever you want. I said, okay. So this is what the Lord placed on my heart. I was away at my week of camp with my kids, and I was going, all right, Lord, what am I supposed to speak on? What am I going to do? And I woke up and did morning devotions, and this is what the Lord brought to me that day. So I want to share this with you. And so we're going to continue this idea of a door that you guys are studying this week. And so the definition of a door is to worship, to show reverence and love for something or someone. The Greek word in the Greek, it means the word worship means like to bow in reverence or to kiss the ground. So I'm going to demonstrate a little bit what that might look like. So if I was adoring someone, I would literally come down in a position like this and maybe even kiss the ground before them. This is the understanding of what it looks like to adore and bow in worship and reverence to someone. But the question then I have for us is then, who or what do we adore? Who or what do we adore? That's a great answer, and we're going to look at that tonight. I want to show you some pictures, and I want to talk through some things that people in our world today adore. All right, so how many of you just had an opportunity to watch the 2024 Summer Olympics? Yeah? All right. Again, I'm a sports guy. I love to watch things. I love to watch all the different events, and here's what I saw when I watched the television. I saw crazy crowds of people from all walks of life, all different countries, that they came to celebrate and to adore the athletes who were performing. They were cheering and celebrating these athletes. And honestly, some of these athletes, when they go back to their countries after winning a medal in the Olympics, they literally are considered like a hero and they're almost worshipped. And that's what our world tells us is adoring, to worship somebody in that way. How many of you are Philadelphia Eagles fans? Raise your hand. All right, right? Good, I'm an Eagles fan too. Guess what? People can adore a sports team. People can adore a sports team. These guys love the Eagles, and they've gotten to the point where they literally will dress up. They will not miss any games. They'll know the stats of their favorite player. They will do whatever it takes to support the Philadelphia Eagles, and they are adoring the Philadelphia Eagles, and they think that that is a good thing. And then you have some people who will adore a movie star or a singer or an actor, and they will do whatever they can to get close to that person. They will try to get in a picture with them. They'll try to touch them. They'll try to get an autograph from them. But whatever they can do, they just got to get to that person because they are adoring that person. And finally, yes, even some people will adore political figures in our world today, in the time that we're in right now. That is really what's going on. People are beginning to adore like a president or a governing official, and they're worshiping them, and they think that they have all the answers, and they show adoration to them. Now, I want to tell you something, guys. Listen, I root for the Eagles. It's okay to cheer for a sports team. It's okay to watch movies with your favorite actors and actresses. It's okay to go to a concert and listen to somebody use their gifts to sing. It's okay for you to support your favorite politician. However, there's a problem when we begin to worship these people. There's a problem when we're giving them praise and adoration that is due to somebody else. And tonight we're going to learn that God is the only one who we should adore like that. God is the only one who is worthy of the adoration and worship of us. And so here's what we're going to do. I want you to hold your Bibles up right here by the spine. Hold them like this. If you got them with you, hold them up. We're going to do a quick sword drill. This is going to take us where we're going for our lesson tonight. So what we're going to do, if you've ever done a sword drill before, you probably know the drill, right? I'm gonna give you a place to find in your Bible, and then I'm going to say go. When I say go, you find it. I need my leaders to help me here. Leaders, I need the first boy and the first girl to stand up with the right spot. I have a prize for them. Okay? You guys, keep your eye on it. I can't watch them all. Yeah. All right? So leaders, keep your eye on it. First boy, first girl to stand with the proper passage. All right. I'm going to give you the passage, and I'm going to say go. You ready? Here we go. Tonight we're going to be studying in Psalm 95. Go! All right, leaders, you tell me who. She's the first. Tonight. Nicely done. Who was the first back here, leaders? Who was the first? Which one? This one? All right. Batman, Pez, man. All right. All right. So now here's what I need. I need all you to be paying attention because I need some experts in the room. I need some experts in the room. Ready? I'm going to ask a couple of questions here. So we're in the book of Psalms. Where's the book of Psalms found in the Bible? Let's just yell it out. Let's just yell it out. I'm looking a little bit more specific. Thank you. Who said Old Testament? That man's awesome. High five. All right. Yes, the book of Psalms is found in the Old Testament. Can anybody tell me what the book of Psalms contains? Psalms. Songs. Yes. Anything else you think? Yep. Here's what I'm looking for. Oh, that's my next question. So you beat me to it. Nicely done. The book of Psalms has 150 chapters. It contains psalms, poems, songs, and prayers that were written and directed to God. Okay? There's 150 different ones. Does anybody know who wrote 73 of the Psalms? David. All right, good job. Now, here's another question I have for you. This one you're going to use your hands to answer. Raise your hands if you've ever written a poem or a song to the Lord, directed to the Lord. Raise your hand. Wow, that's rare. I can be honest. I've never done it. I've never written a poem or a song directed to the Lord. Now, here's another question. You can raise your hands. Raise your hand if you've prayed to the Lord. I'm glad to see a lot of hands going up. That's awesome. That's awesome. Tonight, we're going to see what Psalm 95 can teach us about how we should adore God. So if you have it open now, I want you to follow along as I read the passage, okay? So let's get our listening ears on and follow along. It says this. It says, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the heights of the mountain are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are his people. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day at Massah in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to proof, though they had seen my works. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are people who go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. Therefore I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. So what we're going to do now is we're going to dissect this passage, okay? The first thing that we learn in Psalm 95 is this, that we are invited to adore God. We are invited. It says, oh, come. The psalmist says, oh, come. And he says it a couple times. Oh, come into his presence. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. We are invited to worship God. And it's not something that we necessarily have to do alone. We can worship God alone. We can adore God alone. But we can come together like we're doing right now. Like we just did a couple minutes ago when we sang three songs in adoration to God. And he says, come. And then he says, here's how you do it. We can sing. We can make a joyful noise. We can come into his presence. And then he says, we can make a joyful noise again. Well, I think you guys know what singing is. You're very smart, and we just did that. But what is making a joyful noise like? Does anybody think they know? What's making a joyful noise? Yeah, right? That's good. I heard it. Someone said hallelujah, right? I'll be honest. I think I'm not the greatest singer, so sometimes my singing is a joyful noise, right, to some people's ears. But we can be like, hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen, thank you, Jesus. We're making noise with our mouth, and it is adoration, and it is worship to God. So when we worship God, or when we sing, and we can sing, and we can worship God. David wrote many of the psalms those psalms are the psalms that he sang. He was good at playing different instruments. And so David, when he wrote a lot of these hymns, we can see that he wrote them in a way that he would be playing an instrument and he would be singing and making joyful noises to the Lord in them. So in those songs, he would focus on the goodness of God towards him. And he would sing of the things that God had done, the great things that God had done. It was the way that adoring God and reminding David of God's goodness in his life. The Bible says even one time that David danced before the Lord, right? Dancing is a way of showing worship and adoration to God. When we're making a joyful noise, when we're singing, we can raise our hands, we can dance. And now let me tell you something. I think in some of the pictures that we saw there, like the world tells us that if we're going to adore a sports team, I don't know if you've ever seen this, and someone gets super excited, like, yes, we scored a touchdown, this is awesome. They're high-fiving, they're chest bumping, they're cheering, yes, E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles, right? That is what the Bible's talking about. We can make a joyful noise to the Lord, just like we can cheer for our favorite sports team. And we shouldn't be embarrassed or afraid to do that. This psalm also then tells us, so we can come and we can sing and we can make noise, but it says, what are the things that we need to be giving God adoration for? What causes us to do this? Well, the psalm gives us a couple things. The first thing that I'm going to list, it says, we can adore him because he is great. It says, for the Lord is a great God and a great king above all gods. I want to think you back, and many of you may know this story of when the Israelites were enslaved in Egypt. And God used some plagues to get his people out of the land of Egypt. I don't know about you, but if I got to experience something as great as a plague, I would remember that my entire life. I wouldn't forget it. And God used plagues to free his people Israel from Egypt, and those plagues were to show his power and his might over the Egyptians and their fake gods. And the people of Israel, they got to witness the plagues, and then they got to walk free from Egypt. They got to walk through the sea on dry ground as God parted the sea. They got to look on the other side as God crushed the Egyptians in the sea. And I would say that God did some pretty great things. Those are some pretty amazing things that God did, and God showing his greatness. What are some great things that God has done in our life? You guys can all think of different things. Remember, I told you I was going to tell you the story about me almost being kidnapped. When I was a baby, my mom was walking around a Kmart. You probably don't even know what that is because they are all disappeared. If you know what it is, that's great. It's like a Walmart. And she was walking around, and a guy was following her around the store. And so she heard something in her voice, in her head. It was the Lord. And he said, don't let your son out of your sight. So my mom said, hey, she was shopping with my grandma. She said, we got to go to the other side of the store. So they went to the other side of the store. She looked around. Guy was gone. Okay, we're good. She starts shopping again. And again, she hears, don't let your son out of your sight. And when my mom turned to look at me in the cart, the man had snuck up, and he was reaching to take me out of the cart. And my mom ran. She grabbed me, pulled me, and that guy ran out of the store. No one ever knew what happened. Isn't that a pretty great thing? That is what God is capable of, amazing and great things. I wouldn't even be here today if God didn't do great things. And so that's a way that I can show praise and adoration to God, is that God did a great thing in my life, and I want to give him the credit for that. God is worthy of my adoration, just like he's worthy of your adoration. Another thing that this psalm tells us is that we should adore him because he is the King of Kings. Just like in the story of the plagues were a punishment on the fake gods of Egypt. The 10 plagues that God sent on Egypt was to push back against each of the fake gods that Egypt thought would be able strong enough to handle some other gods and all those things. But in God overcoming those fake gods, he proved that he was the one true God of the universe. That he is the one who is worthy of praise and adoration, and that the Egyptians were worshiping some fake god who had no regard, who didn't deserve to have adoration or praise given to them. And then this psalm says that we should worship and adore God because he is the creator. It says, in his hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountain are also his. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands were formed the dry ground. God is the one who designed everything. He designed the world, the earth, the moon, the stars. He designed dry land, the sea, plants, animals, humans, all of it. God designed it all. He designed humans in his image. He is worthy of our praise. There's so many reasons that we should adore God. This isn't a full list, but this psalm does give us another one, and I think this is the most important one. This psalm tells us that he is the rock of our salvation. The most important reason that we can adore God is because he's our Savior. Not only did God save Israel from their slavery in Egypt, not only did he protect his people from generation to generation, but he's still doing it today through the completed work of Jesus on the cross. I know many of you probably know the story from the very beginning of Genesis when the first humans, Adam and Eve, right? And they walked in a perfect, beautiful relationship with God. That was God's design. That's what he wanted it to be. But Adam and Eve, in their disobedience, rebelled against God. They ate from the tree that they were not to eat from. And in that, they separated themselves from God because of sin. Their sin separated them from God. That relationship that they had with him was now broken and severed, and they could no longer be in it. Sin is
anything. Here we go. So I'm going to do this. Can you guys do this with me? We'll do it again. Ready? Sin is anything that we think, say, or do that goes against God. All right, let's try that again because we had a distraction. All right, ready? Sin is anything that we think, say, or do that goes against God. All right? So sin enters the world through Adam and Eve, and sin then is inherited by all the next generations. So from Adam and Eve's kids all the way to me and you here today, we inherit that sin. And here's who God is. God says, but this is my creation. I designed them. They look like me. I want to be in relationship with them. And so guess what? Right in the beginning, even after he created all those things, even after Adam and Eve sinned, in Genesis chapter 3, God says, I have a plan. I am going to save my people. I am going to redeem them.
And so he puts the rescue plan into motion. He puts he says someday someone is going to come and is going to save all people. And we find out when we go into the New Testament that Jesus is born, the Son of God, come down, God in the flesh. He walks a perfect, sinless life here on earth, only to be condemned and convicted as a criminal, and then die on the cross. And why did he do it? Because God loves us, and God wanted to redeem us. He said, Jesus, here's your job. Go down there. I need you to redeem these people. And so Jesus comes. He takes all the punishment that we deserve for sin. Sin separates us from God, and sin deserves to be punished. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. As sinners, we all deserve death. That's what every human being has coming. Death. Separated from God for all of eternity. Until or unless Jesus or God intervenes in your life. Jesus dies on the cross. He takes the sin of the whole world on him, and he puts it to death. And then he gives his righteousness to us. You and me, sinners. How do we receive righteousness from Jesus? The Bible tells us, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. That is how God saves his people. And this psalm says we can adore him. We can make a joyful noise to him because he is the rock of our salvation. There is no other way to be saved but through trusting and believing in the completed work of Jesus on the cross. When you do that, you are saved. You receive the Holy Spirit, and you can begin to live the purpose that God has called for you to live. We were once enemies before Jesus, and now we are called righteous and redeemed when we're covered by the blood of Christ. Jesus took our place so that we could be saved and that we could be renewed in our relationship with God. This is the biggest reason why you and me should adore God, why we should worship God, why should we show him respect and reverence. There's one more thing that this psalm teaches us. And the second thing is this, that we need to not forget to adore God. Not to forget to adore him. The second part of the verse, of the chapter from 8 down to 11 talks about the people Israel. They came out of Egypt. They got to see all the great things that God had done. They saw the plagues. They saw the sea part. They saw the sea crush the enemy in front of their eyes. They saw the pillar of cloud at day. They saw the pillar of fire at night lead them through the wilderness. They saw God provide manna from heaven. He provided for all their needs, the water, everything. And what did they do? The Bible says, listen, there's two places, Meribah and Massah. They complained and they grumbled. And they forgot how great God was. They forgot all the good things that God had done for them. And instead, they tested him and they complained. And they said, why didn't we just stay in Egypt? Do you think God was pleased in that moment? No, and that's why it says he was angry with them. And he swore that they would never enter his rest. His rest was the promised land. His rest was the place that was flowing with milk and honey, where they were to go and to live and to be his people and to proclaim the name of God to the whole world. And they never made it there because they forgot who their God was. They forgot to adore him. They forgot to put him in the rightful place in their life. Here's the thing, guys. I can sit here and be hard on Israelites all night long. But you and me, we're just like them. We forget to adore our God. We forget that God sent his son Jesus to save us. We just blow by it a lot of times. We forget that God gave us parents who love us, who are to raise us in the fear and discipline of the Lord. We forget that he provides for all of our needs. We forget that the food that we eat, the clothing that's on our back, and the homes that we live in is a gift from God. God has done so much for us, and we need to remember that we need to worship and adore his name, for he is worthy of our praise. Psalm 95 tells us that we are to come and to worship, that we are to come and to worship because he is great, that he has done great things, that he is a creator God, that he is the God of our salvation, and that we should not forget who this God is. And so after we study Psalm 95, what are the things that we need to do? How do we put this into practice in our lives? I'm going to give you one really practical way to do that, and I want you guys to work on that this week. I'm sure you're probably already doing this, but it's a challenge that I have for you as we look at God's word. How do we take something that we learn, and how do we put it into practice in our lives? And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I asked you who prays earlier, and almost everybody in here raised their hand. And that's great. But unfortunately, here's what I hear a lot of times in our prayers. I hear a lot of thank you gods, and I hear a lot of here's what I need gods. But I don't hear a lot of, God, I worship you. I adore you because of who you are. And so I'm going to give you an example of what this looks like. And I want to challenge you to make the adoring God prayers the first part of your prayers. I just did this with my kids at camp this week. And we went around the circle and we talked. And the first thing we said when we did our prayers, we were going to talk about how we can adore God. And it was so sweet to hear 4th, 5th, and 6th graders coming up with these answers. Here's what it looks like to adore God. We tell God all the things that we know about him to be true and all the things that we understand about him. So here it goes. God, I worship you because you are the creator. God, I worship you because you are gracious. God, I worship you. You are powerful. You are kind. You are loving. You are patient. You're merciful. God, I love you because you know all things. God, I love you because you're holy. You are good. You're my Father. You are the Lord. You are the Savior. That's a simple way in which we can show God that we adore him. And then we adore him with our lives as we live out our lives. Do you see how this works? We adore God by whatever we acknowledge him in our lives to be. And all of this is a way for us to adore him, to worship him, because he is worthy of our praise. And here's the reality. We just sang a song that said, holy, holy, holy. One day, if you trust in Christ and you're faithful to the end, you're going to be in heaven. You're going to have Jesus in front of you, and you are going to adore God in all of his glory for the rest of eternity, singing holy, holy, holy before the throne. That is going to be the most amazing experience that you will ever have. And that's what I desire for each and every one of you guys. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. God, thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your son Jesus. You did not leave us in our rebel state. You didn't leave us as enemies to constantly fight against you, but you made a way. You made a way for us to come to you, which was through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, that he rose again in 3 days. Thank you that when we put our faith and trust in him, we are reunited in our relationship with you. We are redeemed. We are renewed, regenerated. We are made clean. Our sins are wiped away. And then, God, help us not to forget that you are a great God, that you are the King above all kings, that you are the most powerful, the most wise, and most beautiful of all. Thank you for welcoming us into your family through Christ. Lord, may we not forget to adore you. May we not forget to give you the praise and adoration that is due your name. Lord, thank you for these great kids. Thank you for these leaders. I pray that their week here at camp would be fruitful, and Father, that there would be fruit born for your kingdom. And we ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen.